Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for November 3rd, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Moritz Bunemann and Peter Kolb about how the mode of ligand binding to a voltage-sensitive G-protein-coupled receptor determines whether changes in membrane potential enhance or attenuate signaling. G-protein-coupled receptors, or GPCRs, are transmembrane receptors and most activate intracellular signaling pathways when an appropriate ligand binds to them. However, some GPCRs are also voltage-sensitive, meaning that their activity is affected by the membrane potential, which is a measure of the difference in electrical potential between the outside of the cell and the inside of the cell. Changes in membrane potential may either enhance or attenuate ligand-dependent signaling, but it isn't clear how. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, a group led by Moritz Bunemann and Peter Kolb has investigated how the mode of ligand binding affects voltage sensitivity of a particular voltage-sensitive GPCR, the M3 muscarinic acetylcholine receptor. Bunemann and Kolb spoke to me from Philipps University Marburg in Marburg, Germany. Dr. Bunemann and Dr. Kolb, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hi, Annalisa.
Hello there.
Moritz, why is it biologically important that signaling by some GPCRs is controlled by membrane potential in addition to ligand binding?
Well, I think the voltage sensitivity of GPCRs enables them actually to modulate their activity dependent on the electrical context or the context of the signaling of neighboring neurons. So the membrane potential is critical for communication information processing in electrically excitable cells, such as neurons. And at the resting condition, the membrane potential is polarized. Upon depolarization, information gets transported. Upon hyperpolarization, the information transport is inhibited. At synapses, the electrically encoded information is communicated to neighboring cells by means of neurotransmitters, which are detected by receptors such as G-protein-coupled receptors. And the recent observation that the membrane potential, by its strong physical force, influences the activity that a neurotransmitter or a drug has on its GPCR means that the degree of signal transduction depends also on the local electric activity. Therefore, we have to realize that GPCR signaling exhibits even a higher degree of plasticity due to its context sensitivity.
In this study, you focused on muscarinic acetylcholine receptors. What ligands activate those receptors?
Well, the natural agonist of muscarinic receptors is certainly acetylcholine, which is a well-known and prominent neurotransmitter. In the synapse, it is quickly degraded to acetate and choline. Choline can still bind to the receptor, however, with much weaker affinity, and it can also partially activate the receptor, and we used it in our study as well. Carbachol is very similar in structure to acetylcholine, but due to the fact that it carries carbamyl moiety instead of the acetyl moiety, it cannot be degraded. And clinically, it is used for the treatment of glaucoma, very similar to pilocarpine. Pilocarpine is an alkaloid and therefore has a quite different structure, and we use it also in the present study.
And now to address the results of your study, how does membrane potential affect signaling by these receptors?
For the muscarinic M1 receptor, the acetylcholine-induced activation is actually enhanced by membrane depolarization. However, the opposite is true for the M3 and the M5 muscarinic receptors, where acetylcholine-induced signaling is attenuated upon depolarization. Interestingly, whereas the identity of the agonists was not important for the effect of voltage on muscarinic M1 receptors, depolarization enhanced the response to choline and pilocarpine on M3 muscarinic receptors, which is just the opposite of what we observed for carbachol and acetylcholine. And this observation prompted us actually to perform ligand docking simulations to identify differences in the exact binding mode of these ligands within the binding pocket of the M3 muscarinic receptor, and we did this together and with the help of Peter Kolb's lab.
And so, Peter, how do those different ligands have different effects on the voltage sensitivity of the M3 muscarinic receptors?
So we think that this has to do with the binding mode of the small molecule ligands, and it is whether or not they have a contact with a particular helix accessible in the binding site, that's helix 6, that distinguishes whether the signal of the receptor is increased or decreased upon depolarization. We saw this in our docking studies when we just placed the small molecule ligand, so carbachol and pilocarpin, in the binding pocket. And we observed that carbachol establishes contacts with helix 6, whereas pilocarpin does not do that. And so these two ligands show differential behavior in the depolarization experiment. Now, the next question was, can we somehow modify these contacts, these interactions that these molecules make with helix 6? Can we modify these contacts so that the binding modes become more similar? And we did a number of computational mutations in the receptor, and it turns out that one particular side chain, and that's asparagine 652, influences the binding mode to a very high degree. And so if we mutate this asparagine to a glutamine, the binding mode of carbachol becomes more similar to pilocarpin. And then we went back to our collaborators in the Brüneman lab, and when they experimentally introduced this mutation, it turns out that indeed the behavior of carbachol and pilocarpin upon membrane depolarization became more similar, and they both now increase the signaling.
So both of those ligands bind in the same binding pocket on the receptor, but they're just contacting different residues of the receptor.
That is absolutely correct. And this is our current hypothesis, that this differential binding mode or this differential interaction pattern that the two small molecules display is the major reason why we see this differential behavior. It's also interesting to see that it is helix 6 that seems to play a role, which is one of the helices that moves a lot upon receptor activation. And so we will continue to investigate how this might play out.
So I think what we have to consider here,
Moritz Bühnemann,
is basically two different binding poses of the ligand, or the binding mode of the ligand. And there are basically two parts of the binding pocket. In one case, we have always an enhanced activity, an enhanced binding of the ligand with depolarization, whereas in the other case, that is the contact to helix 6, we have the opposite effect. If there is a contact, then depolarization reduces binding affinity.
How does this mechanism differ from the way that voltage-sensitive ion channels sense voltage?
What is really different is that for GPCRs, the voltage influences the binding of the ligand, or it influences the degree of the conformational change of the receptor in response to agonist binding. So agonist is not required for ion channels. So what is not different is that in principle, the alterations in the membrane potential induces a charge movement in the protein, which means a conformational change of the proteins of the receptor and the channel. In the case of the channel, the identity of the voltage sensor is known, whereas in GPCRs, it remains to be identified. What is also different is that channels exhibit a much steeper voltage dependence compared to GPCRs, which means that their functional alterations or their activation requires much less change in membrane potential compared to GPCRs.
How are these signaling properties of the different ligands important for the function of the M3 muscarinic acetylcholine receptor in vivo?
To be honest, we don't know yet. But what we've learned from the work on muscarinic receptors is that the excitatory neuron M1 muscarinic receptor is more active during depolarization, which suggests that it signals better during high synaptic activity. However, to really actually measure in vivo function, experimentally, we need to generate receptor mutants that specifically lack actually voltage sensitivity with otherwise unaltered properties, and that's a difficult task. But I think one avenue is to identify the voltage sensor in GPCRs, and if we have identified it, we maybe are able to remove it, and then we might be able to answer this important question.
Peter and Moritz, thanks for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure.
That was Moritz Bunemann and Peter Kolb discussing a paper published in the November 3rd issue of Science Signaling by Renna and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.